35%.
Yes.
Question.
35%. Yeah, that sounds about right. Go ahead, Alberto.
How many employees are we talking about, full time and part time, that are represented in this budget, please?
Okay, let's see if we can add up the FTEs.
I did ask that. Round it out.
Round it out.
FTEs are about 19. Projected for this budget.
How many do you currently have right now, ARPO?
That's part of what I'm trying to find out. We have fewer than that right now.
Ballpark, 12, 13 maybe? Ballpark?
No, it would be 18 or something.
I think it's like 16, 17 maybe.
And the new budget...
I've asked for that exact piece of information.
Yeah,
we made the cuts. And I mean, I'm asking for what did we have before and after the cuts, too. So that's a calculation that has to be made.
Because 09 actual for gross salary total, I mean, simply gross salary, none of the other employee-related expenses, it was $1.01 million in 09, and the current budget has it at $959,000. And even if you add back in a GM salary, it would be practically the same as in 09. So the FTEs can't have changed very much. You see what I'm saying, Paul?
Yeah, this was Bertold did the calculation, and it came to 19, he says.
Okay.
I would believe that, but I would believe that also 09 would be the same. I don't think it hasn't changed.
It has to have changed between
Jimmy?
What's projected and what we did in 09 after the cut.
Jimmy?
Oh, right. I gotcha. Oh, yeah, that's correct. Yeah, you're right, because we spent more before we made cuts. That's a good point. Yes, okay, go ahead, Lucia.
You don't have to give me the information now, but are you able to send me some information as to the percentage for the different stations, the percentage of their budget that the staff is? Just a breakdown.
Yeah, that's it. So you just want the percentage of total expenditure?
Versus staff.
Yeah,
okay, that's a good thing. I made a graph of that at one point. It's pretty interesting.
Can I just see it?
Yeah, that was a good request.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay, another point here is that there's no money allotted for consultants in fiscal 10. Paul, I have a question for you. You know, when people work on the drives as tally coordinators, are those people counted as consultants?
This has been something that's gone back and forth at BAI. In a way, they should be, but in another way, you can't, because the IRS defines consultants, and the people who do the tally job, they show up at BAI's premises. They have set hours. They use WBAI's equipment. And, you know,
they're part-time
all
workers.
All of that together makes you a de facto
part-time
employee,
yeah.
Not a
contract
1099 person. So this is something that goes back and forth. They are not, at this time, counted in this budget as paid staff at all. They're supposed to be, I said, counted as consultants, but there we are. Because they, on the other hand, they do not get health benefits, because these are jobs that last for 3 weeks at a time.
Casual jobs.
Yeah.
Do you know where they show up then? Because they don't seem to be on the payroll tab either.
Yeah. That's a question. Originally, they had shown up there, and I said, well, I said they should be considered consultants as opposed to paid staff. Because when we talk about paid staff, you know, there are specific issues in there. And adding to that didn't seem right to me. So,
Mr. Chairman?
I think they should be carried as consultants, even though they have to be paid. And you know, we have to do taxes on them and stuff.
Right.
Or should.
But where are...
How much
are
longer we have?
Well, that's up to you guys.
No, I need to be going.
You can take off. How much longer do people want to stay on the call?
Not too long.
Let's get to the bottom of the budget if we can.
Yeah, I would like to go to the bottom of the budget. It seems like we're productive and focused.
How many minutes do you think?
Maybe half an hour. But if you need to go lose that, that's fine. Don't.
I might join you later, but I'm not at home. So
I gotcha.
You.
Okay. I have a quick question. I'm sorry. I think I lost you. There are 19 full-time equivalents at WBAI?
Yes. That's what I was told on Friday. Bertolt,
I'd like to make it say something about that. May I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I think that WBAI is woefully understaffed at this point. KPFK is understaffed at about 24 full-time equivalents, and administrative functioning for the membership upkeep, the fund drive administration, the premium fulfillment, and the billing, we have just insufficient staff to do those functions, and it's cutting into our income and fulfillment at WBAI. The staffing is—it's just impossible. You can't, you know, one person. Let's take an absurd figure. Let's say we cut the payroll down so there were two full-time equivalents. Could a radio station be run with two full-time equivalents? Of course not. So we're getting to the point with 19 full-time equivalents where there are functions that are just simply not being done because there are not enough personnel. And I would strongly advise our Paul that you bring this up and that we need to either restaff so that staff is shifted from one department to another, but the financial and membership administration needs to be beefed up staff-wise because it's just not. They're just too little staffing to do the functions necessary to maintain the fulfillment in any kind of normal range.
Chair?
Yes, Luz F.
I'm happy I didn't leave before I heard this. Now, if we say that about BAI, I'm not sure that we ever looked at the staffing at PFW. For years, it's been operating on skeleton staff. And I think if we're going to look at one station, then as a strategy, we should be looking at all the stations and identify what is priority. I mean, naturally, it might differ, but even so, we should be looking at all the stations because I think PFW is woefully understaffed, even more than BAI. We have a development department with one person in the lead. She is the team leader of three people.
Right.
We have a public affairs department with one person in it, and sometimes she has interns. What else do we have? News is one person. And so, you know, I think... And operations, one person. Operations, one technical person. So while I appreciate that there is a problem at BAI, I think it would do the network good to look at each station, see what they're expected to do and what the resources are in terms of personnel.
Right,
we don't make a fuss here, but it is bad, and I'm sure Grace knows that too.
And me too.
That's a good point. You know, actually, our network is interesting. Our stations have a variety of station staffing habits, but I don't want to get too far off topic.
I agree.
But you know, yeah. So it is a worthwhile conversation, though. It certainly is. You know, the stations have kind of grown up the way they have. And there they are, but, you know.
Suffering. We're suffering now.
We're suffering now. No one more than me. No, that's not true. I'm enjoying it. But anyway, so those are we were on salaries and related. Were there any? I guess we can move on down.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I did ask to be on the stack very quickly,
okay,
and I might have gotten the answer, but I want to re-ask the question in a different way. Paul, in that particular budget that was developed, I know that at our radio station over here, when our budget was developed, we ended up with a certain number of staff people. Basically, we have projected in the budget 8 full-time employees, which it seems going to be 7 now, and 8 part-time employees, workers, some of them working 10 hours a week, up to 24 hours a week, depending on what they're doing in the radio station. So we have 8 full-time and 8 part-time employees in our budget. Does your budget there that was produced, that was produced by management, does it have those kinds of breakdowns in it?
No.
It breaks it down by amount of money paid per pay period.
It's not such a straightforward exercise to calculate total FTEs from the information we have here in this budget.
I'm sorry.
The one we looked at last week, KPFK, it basically had how much of an FTE each person is, and all you had to do was add up the whole column, and you had your answer. This one, we don't have a number like that. And it's as Arpal says, we do have the salary each person is paid, and you can sort of figure out, you know, how much of an FTE each individual is, but it's less straightforward.
Well, also,
okay.
We did this last Friday, and I specifically asked about this, and so Bertold did in fact go over. Bertold and I went over the list on the payroll sheet, and we did in fact mark out, who's full time, who's half time, who's quarter time. We have some 1/8 timers in there, and so we marked all of that out.
Okay.
But it's not in this. I think maybe that information might still be on a spreadsheet that Bertold has.
Let me ask you the follow-up question before we move on to the next item very quickly.
Okay,
earlier you were talking, Arpal, about, well, Jamie was mentioning, well, you guys were discussing the fact that there's people that come in, and I lost it a little bit there.
Yeah,
there's
casual workers who work in the tally room on the fund.
They represented in that particular budget, a staffing budget, where you have people working 1/8 time?
We're not sure. It's a little unclear as to where they're represented. That's one of our queries.
Okay, let me say that right now, in what we have in front of us,
yes,
it's got some. It actually has those.
Okay, thank you.
I'm looking at it right now, and I see them in there, and they shouldn't be in there because they have specific names. And
okay.
You know, this is the thing where you make the hire for that bond, and it's not like anybody has, you know, always has those. In other words, at some point in column C, you will see people's names at times, and some of those names are the tally person from, I don't know, August or June or something like that, or May, and those were taken out, but I see they're back in.
Okay.
Good night, all. Good night.
Okay, thank you.
Just to wrap up my comments, Arpal, you know, I tend to agree that I tend to believe this whole issue of, again, it's rhetorical, but the whole concept of either getting a W-2 or a 1099 is a very, very dangerous situation, and I always, in my line of work, I always tended to err on the safe side, which is W-2s as opposed to 1099s, and that always keeps all of the government agencies off of your tail. But that's it, Mr. Chairman. Move on.
Okay, thank you, Alberto. So let's move down to the administrative expenses bundle. This starts on row 57, line 57. And there's a lot of interesting numbers here for people who like numbers. Starting with telephone. Row 57, total expenditure on telephone is $35,000 compared to $81,000. in 2009.
Uh-oh.
So.
Yeah, they are expecting that that we're going to have lower costs to operate with the new phone system. So this is projecting that new phone system to really happen.
Okay, well, that's an interesting one. Okay.
It's projecting it to happen starting last month.
It better happen.
No, but what I'm saying, I mean, do you have a target date for installing it?
Oh,
because the budget assumes it was in effect starting 37 days ago.
Yes. It was supposed to have been done 3 months ago.
Yeah, I have it on a separate sheet about it.
October 09. Well, there's your answer.
I predict it will not happen in October of 09.
Can't you radio guys do time travel?
Yes, we can.
Okay, but when to install? And we don't know. We don't have. So this is something. This is an issue.
Mr. Jamie.
Yes.
I was thinking eviler thoughts about the drop in telephone expense. I was having evil thoughts about why our telephone expense was dropping from last year to this year.
Yeah, I think we've already been through the fact that people on this committee cannot have evil thoughts. Okay, anyway, so then moving down, so that's phone, so that's an issue. It's based on a new system that was supposed to be installed either 3 months ago or in October, and it's still not there. Okay, this is an issue. This is a problem with this budget. It sort of has a lot of these good things that some of them have already happened, such as the increase in fund drive revenues, but some of them have not yet happened. So we don't, you know. Okay, then the next big number here is row 62, professional service legal. Fiscal year 09 was $24,000. Fiscal year 10, we have budgeted $60,000. And I assume, Grace, this is what you guys wanted to budget sort of just in case or to cover local consultations. Is that correct?
I don't know if this is a public session issue.
Okay.
How much was budgeted?
$60,000.
$60,000?
So, Arpal, you say this is a specific thing that we can't talk about now?
I suspect this may be. Race would know better than I, maybe.
Okay.
No, but it may be, yes.
Okay.
Not sure.
We can flag that one and get a quick answer. Okay. Then going down, what's row 65, interest expense? In 09, they spent $8,000. In 010, there's nothing budgeted. What, do you know? I don't even know what that row means.
Well, it would be interest you pay when you accrue penalties for being late in a payment.
Etc.
Oh, this could that could be like the rent. Mm. No, I saw in the bills that we were getting when we're like 2 days late in the rent, they slap us with a fast interest charge.
Okay,
so we're projecting not being late in the rent.
Interest or late fee?
Well, they call it called interest expense here.
That's
okay,
bogus.
Then moving down. The next issue is row 70, credit card discount fee. Once again, BAI projects to spend less on this area than it did, like the other stations. You know, and we need clarification if this deal is really going to happen. FY09, we spent $41,000. And the budget calls for spending $28,000.
Brian here.
Yes, go ahead.
I went to the assumption sheet on this, and it assumes 2%. Which
fee.
Again, what?
The fee.
Right. It assumes a credit card fee of 2%, which again seems like an awfully round number and something that's based on actuals. It also doesn't make sense to me that your listener support is going up by over $700,000 while an expense that's directly contingent, it should be a fixed percent of listener support, is going down by $14,000.
Okay, so that's a
I have a comment about that, but I don't have any I don't have any specific information.
Go ahead.
We found that KPFK, at least, that these services are very negotiable, especially as we are a large account. So phone services, for instance, are extremely negotiable. Phone companies are very competitive. And it's the same is true with credit card. Credit card companies can charge as much as 3% and as little as 1% or even less. So per transaction. So I don't know what the specifics on this are, but it's certainly worth shopping around to get a lower charge for credit card, and credit card expense. But I don't know the details. I just know that these fees are negotiable.
Okay. All right. Then going down. Another line is row 71, line 71, travel, NO, PNB, other station. 09 actual was 10,000 and some change, but the budget only calls for 2,000 and change.
Hmm.
Okay, so I guess we'll
yeah,
flag
I,
that one.
Yeah, I brought that up, and I'm looking at the notes on paper. And
waving pen.
I'm not using the pen now. Okay, that's a question right there. That's a question.
Okay, so I'll just flag that one. And then going down. Okay, then the next big deal, the big deals in administration for BAI are the costs for the space and the tower. It's a little bit complicated, but I was just looking at it here. Row 75 is office rent. In 09 actual, we spent $343,000 in office rent on this line. The budget calls for $298,000, so that's a decrease in $45,000. However, we have utilities office, which is row 80. In FY09, we spent $35,000, but the budget calls for $78,000, which is an increase of $43,000. So if you add office rent and utilities,
yeah,
they're about the same for 09 actual and 010 budget. So
I
guess that's what
was,
that is. Do you have any more information about that?
No. I'm wondering if things got accidentally split there somehow. But that is a question, yeah.
Okay.
Brian here.
Yes?
Just the rent dropping? The office and tower rent?
Well, the office rent, if you add the utilities and the rent, the FY10 is pretty much the same as FY9. If you go to row 80, utilities office seems to be increasing by a factor of 2, which seems odd.
Gotcha.
We should ask for a query
yeah,
on.
But
yeah, ask for clarity.
The tower rent doesn't work splitting it like that, right?
Yes, tower rent does not work.
Yeah.
Then row 77 is tower rent, which 09 actual is $437,000 and 010 is $342,000. So it's projecting that we're going to spend $95,000 less. However, utilities for tower are basically the same in both years, about $65,000. So it's not clear where that decrease is going to come from, unless that, too, is related to not getting behind on payments. Do you know
No.
anything about this, Grace? Or are Paul?
No, it's not about not getting behind on payments. We didn't, even we didn't manage to rack up interest penalties of that magnitude this year. Yeah, this is stuff that needs to be asked specifically. For the studios, I have to wonder if we have a typo or somehow something got moved accidentally, and that's why it balances out. For tower rent, yeah, we got to have a question on that.
I have a theory that you should investigate.
Okay.
My theory is that your business office is booking rent as cash instead of accrual and only booking expense when you actually make payments, instead of when they come due. So that if you made catch-up payments in FY09, it's looking like your expense was higher. than it should be.
I think that's probably correct.
Which is a bookkeeping practice that y'all should straighten out, because it makes financial documents very hard to analyze across years.
I'm looking at tower rent.
That sounds familiar.
I'm looking at tower rent on a monthly basis, and this looks not untoward, because I've been looking at this for a couple of years now. So on a monthly basis, tower rent is not odd looking.
Yeah, the budgeted number is what it should be, I think.
Yeah, I'm even having a memory of this, but just looking right now at the monthly rate, it's not odd looking. It's fairly familiar. January, it's going to go up again, but that's the Empire State Building for you. So yeah, that's probably something on the order of counting in problems from last fiscal year. But we should ask, make sure, nail it down.
Okay. Okay, so that's good. Then those are the big items there. Well, actually, let's go $6,900. There's a settlement cost, which was only in FY09. I guess that's as it should be. Then on row 86, we have a new row, debt retirement.
That's a suspiciously familiar total.
$104,000.
That's the Heath.
The Heath?
Excellent.
That's what I'm looking at my note here, and that's the.
I don't think so.
If it is, it can't be there. It can't be a functional expense. You have to put it in cash and capital.
Yeah, we don't owe $104,000 on the Heath.
That is true.
I think, you know, there's something else with it.
I think that we must be paying back. That must be old Central Services.
But
debt retirement. No, I had the note right here. Debt retirement, $104K, is the Heath Endowment repayment. That's what I was told on Friday.
That's weird, because my understanding of the Heath Endowment, the whole stations are going to pay back $100,000 in aggregate this year. So BAI share should be about 25 or 26, right? Is that correct?
That is correct.
Sounds right.
So okay, so this is an issue.
I think there may be something added into it, though. So yeah, we have to flag it and ask specifically. But I suspect it's going to be Heath plus, I don't know what.
And Brian. Alberto.
Alberto, and then Brian.
Just quickly, and again, if it's set for because it has been set for a 36-month period. Obviously, the only line item, the only budgeted line item, should be for this 12 months, not for the remaining 12 months, 24 months into the next 2 years. That's my belief. Go ahead, Brian.
So it's really important that you not have this listed as an administrative expense. It has to be in cash and capital, whether it's an inter-unit transfer or debt retirement or whatever. The reason is because this is moving cash, and all the other numbers are accrual. If you keep it there, you can wind up double booking it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Well, no, but I think...
Kind of.
Okay. Look, the Heath money was already spent somewhere, right? All you're doing is moving money between accounts in the foundation. It's not an actual extra expense for the foundation.
To us.
So if we already accrued $325,000 in expenses that we spent from the Heath, and then you book this as another $104,000 in expenses, what your books say is that you spent $429,000 instead of you spent $325,000, then moved another $104,000 in between your own internal accounts. Do you follow me now?
Yes,
I do.
Okay. So cash and that's why the cash and capital section exists, and that's why things like central service payments do not wind up in the actual functional expense areas here.
It's the old 200 in my chart of accounts. Gotcha.
Okay, well, that's, so then that needs to be dealt with for at least two reasons.
It's too high and it's not in the right place.
Exactly. Very, very precise and concise, terse summary. Okay, so now we're to the end of administrative. What's interesting is total administrative expenses are $1.08 million, and last year they were $1.15 million, and this year includes this extra $100,000, $104,000 payment. I guess last year included some anomalous rent payment. Okay, so that's that. So now we're moving down to board expenses. And we have LSB election and stuff.
Oh, no. There goes the budget.
Total board expenses are $44,000 compared to $38,000 this year. Other stations budgeted more for...
Yeah, that seems really low to me because you're catching both the tail end of this election, which includes that extra 10,000-piece mailing, plus the front end of next year's election.
And this election was double.
Yeah, and at BAI, it was a lot more than that. Oh, God. So we'll note that.
It's the Peter principle.
Yeah, man, well, that's what we're all about.
Thank God we have no member in our committee named Peter.
Right.
But it looks like another placeholder number.
Right, it does look like a placeholder number. Okay, so that may need to be adjusted. Okay, so moving down, programming expenses. Okay, let's see. My mind is starting to fog over here.
We can quit and come back next week, Mr. Chairman.
Well, we're almost done. It's programming, development, and a community expense, and they're all community expenses tiny. So programming expenses, the first row is news services. In FY09, there was $54,000. In FY10, it's $31,000. Do you know why this drop, ARPO?
Not specifically. However, I do have a note that their management is going to be cutting waste on some of these things.
Okay.
That's specifically about line 107, tapes and supplies, which, you know, when was the last time we used audio tape? Even we aren't that bad anymore. And that's a lower number. And in general there, I'm being told that there's going to be a lot of cutting of waste, so to speak.
Cutting of waste. Well, that's good to hear. So I wonder, it's all flag 100. Why is the drop? Okay, and then we're spending more on maintenance. Rows 103 and 104, maintenance technical. The budget says $34,000. Last year was $16,000. Row 34, maintenance engineering. The budget says $11,000. Last year had zero. So we're spending $44,000 versus $17,000 last year.
Yeah, apparently. Well, you'll notice also on line 103, it has a three-month pulse. And I think some of this is to keep up keep some things going. Because I know I have a note in here. I asked about the, transmitter is a different line, isn't it? Transmitter?
Well, the transmitter, that's not in cash and capital, is it? Yeah, transmitter is in cash and capital, row 39, $6,000.
Okay. All right, so we even discussed that one. Let's see. All right, now let me try to remember here. I don't see a note about it immediately. Okay, let's flag that for now because maybe I'll remember later on or something. I'm a little fried right now.
Yeah, sure. I am too.
Sure.
Well, should we stop or should we keep going?
Why don't we go to the end and, you know, if we just have to say we're fried about everything, then we do. But maybe it will be a grand revelation somewhere.
Okay, and in other programming expenses, now we're spending $42,000 as opposed to zero last year. is this, let's see, there's something we're supposed to do. We're doing increased Arbitron. And
yes.
What else?
That's
oh, because
we didn't
pay any money in Arbitrons last year. Unlike the other stations that didn't increase, BAI is doing we're going up to $20,000 from nothing.
I think we got some now.
Well, maybe for October.
Sure.
For the new
anyway,
year.
Anyway, if you look, it's $2,000 for most months, but then it's 66, which is that 4,600, which is the new Arbitron quarterly. So
right, so the 2,000, I don't know what that is.
$2,000 on the program. I don't know what that is precisely. I don't know what the $2,000 a month is.
Okay.
Now, the next one, the next line, 109, probably needs a discussion, and I don't know if it's here or elsewhere, because I think that line has been increased by the PNB, and I think it. When I was discussing on Friday, Berthold hadn't heard about that.
Okay.
Question.
Yes, go ahead.
Can you repeat that again? I faded.
Well,
you blinked. Line 109 is free speech radio news.
Okay.
So the budget calls for 83,000. Last year we spent 93,000. We should spend more this year.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's contingent on your level of CPB funding.
Well, that's true. So yeah, maybe that's where it's probably in the assumption.
Did the PNB? Didn't the PNB increase this?
That well, yeah, we increased it if the
by 2000,
grant didn't go down.
$2,000.
Okay, so it's more complicated than I know. All right.
There was an if statement there.
Okay.
Well, I asked this question about KPFA's budget. Actually, Grace, you kind of punted on that and said you'd have to look into it. But it's clearly something every one of our stations is going to have to look at. Up until this year, we've budgeted Free Speech Radio News strictly as a percentage of the CPB grant. Now that's gone down and there's a contract with FSRN, what happens? Is there a reopener on the contract?
This very much is a percentage of the CPB grant.
Mr. Chairman?
That's what it says.
Right, but that's going to leave National short of what they've committed to FSRN.
Okay.
Do you follow me?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. But the budget, what the budget does, it links strictly to FSRN. But actually, the motion we passed had a caveat. If the grant level decreases, we sort of have to revisit the issue or something.
Point of information.
So has anyone revisited it?
No, we haven't.
This is how I understand it, Brian. And I think we need to revisit. But my impression was that based on the 2009 budget for Free Speech Radio News, the 20 whatever percentage, they came back and they asked us for an increase out of non-free speech earmarked funds of $24,000 that we spread around the radio stations. And we went ahead and we did it, and the board adopted it. But I don't know for how long that budgetary line item was going to continue, and I know that my management locally was a little upset that having that increase, and I'm sure that everybody's concerned. But for how long are we going to keep the number, the new number that was the old budget plus the extra $24,000 for Free Speech Radio News?
I have information about that.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
I sent you all the back and forth with someone from the CPB and my communication to the CPB. Hopefully this will be adjudicated and we'll know the answer by Friday. We'll know what how they are going to adjudicate our funding. Everything's on hold until then.
So okay.
If our CPB funding is decreased, then we'll have to revisit the FSRN contract. But we don't know if it's decreased yet, and we don't know how much it's decreased yet. So we have to wait until we know.
Point of information, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go ahead.
Grace, my concern is that the gentleman from Free Speech Radio News came to us a few months ago and asking for an increase of $24,000, which was adopted.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, for how long is that going to be on our expense side of the radio stations?
I don't know that we had a sunset on that one.
There's no sunset for this year. It's just it will need to be revisited if our funding is decreased, if our CPP funding is decreased. You understand?
No, because my impression was that if our, let's say our funding remains the same. And I'll get off of this because it's obviously will be determined eventually. But if, let's say, our funding level remains the same as 09, that means that they came back and said, we need more, $24,000 more, and it was adopted. We sent the request up to the board, and the board said, sure, we'll give them $24,000 more based on the fact that the 09 line items that each of the stations provide to Free Speech Radio News with an increase of none, if I may use the term, CPB money, increased by $24,000. And for how long will that be? Because it's above and beyond the grant, the CPB grant. And I'm just raising it for to be looked at in the near future, again, regardless of what our funding level from CPB is, whether it's more or less.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Well,
okay.
It's a board decision, and it was for all of fiscal year 2010.
It was for all the fiscal year 2010?
Correct.
Okay. Well, that settles my question.
Okay.
Move on.
Let's see. Where are we here? We are on... I just had to move where I was going. People are going to bed.
You're on line 109.
109. So, yeah. Okay, so we covered that one. Okay, so now we're going down into development expenses. The last big bundle of numbers. And, wow. These are, like,
uh-oh,
all over the map.
Uh-oh.
Mr. Chair, I think some of this, I think, maybe due to the final actuals not being in yet.
Okay.
So I think that some of the FY09 actuals aren't where they need to be yet. So that may make...
They're semi-actuals.
Just semi-actual.
Okay, well, it makes it hard to see.
This is my impression.
Right?
I could be wrong.
$248,000 in premiums?
Yeah, that may be one of the things there that I was just talking about.
Of course, there's a big increase. The telemarketing expenses budgeted is
at
$91,000.
We already talked about that one, so yeah. But the increase in premiums certainly does leap out, doesn't it? But I think that's... I think that may be something where... It's not done yet for 09, but we should look at that. We should flag that.
Okay. Need to compare with actuals. Need to compare with complete actuals. Let me just pull up a budget here for. Let me pull out some old statements for BAI to see what the a reasonable premium cost would be.
Last year?
Yeah, I'll look at last year as one of our budgets. I think I'll look at budget 8 or 9. Whatever.
Yeah, I have 9A.
Nine. And let's see, BAI budget. Premiums. $8,000 a month.
Which line is this?
I'm on row 123. Yeah, the budgeted total is $98,000. Last month, 12-month summary, $98,000. So $200,000 is a lot of money on premiums.
Yes, it is.
Okay, why so much on premiums?
Maybe we're giving gold Cadillacs.
You wouldn't give away many at that rate.
Okay, I can explain that.
Oh, good.
Go ahead.
Okay, WBAI is shifting to some degree to the successful actions at KPFK, fundraising actions. And they're premium-driven, and KPFK pegs the premium cost at 10% of the pledge amount. So that's...
that's about 10%.
Roughly what you would estimate the premiums to cost at that calculation. And so we 10 times the our cost, and that's what we charge for.
Budgeted.
Let's see, in 2007, BAI spent $161,000 on premiums. So
yeah,
$98,000 budgeted.
Knock that down a bit.
Yeah, we were trying to save money there.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
So we're spending more on premiums.
Premiums
are 10%.
That's wise, not unwise. I mean, you know, people are now, well, if you look at fundraising, I wrote a little article about it. If you look at public TV and radio and you study their fund drives, you'll find that they are more and more premium-driven. And the premiums have nothing to do with their programming, their normal programming. There's almost no public affairs premiums being offered or even pitching in prime time on public TV. And what they're having success with premium-wise is similar to what we're having success with. And when you have upside in income to the degree that we've had it, I don't think the model should be tampered with too much to be successful. Now, I do have to say that we have been striving and pressuring PDs and GMs to improve programming as the only rational way to really have a strong, stable foundation and stations. And that is being done at KPFK, KPFT, and WBAI, slower than I would wish, but that is starting to happen. I think
KPFA.
And KPFA as well. So that should relieve us of our growing premium dependence and our fund drive day lengthening effect, or whatever you want to call it. It's getting late for me. But in the meantime, the premiums are working. And they cost what they cost. I wouldn't tamper with that. We tried last summer, as I've mentioned earlier, in earlier NFC meetings, KPFK in August of 2008 tried a membership only, no premium fund drive. It was the worst fund drive we ever had. We made 27% of our goal.
Yeah.
Unbelievably low. It just doesn't work. We try it over and over again. Because people don't want to pay for premiums, and it's just cost us dearly in outcome. So we're stuck right now.
Okay, well, that's a good explanation. Okay, so I'm not sure what to do with these other numbers.
Which are the other numbers?
Line 123 needs to be flagged, I think, because if we're going to send out a lot more premiums, aren't we going to set more shipping them out? Although I'm told we're going to concentrate greatly on DVDs and lose
CDs.
The book. So the radio station is going to encourage people to watch TV rather than read.
Ugh. How can you live with yourself, Barbara? No, I'm okay.
But Paul, you get a postal discount on bound printed material, so it shouldn't be... I mean, nothing would explain your shipping expense dropping $20,000 while your premium expense goes up $150,000.
Which is why I'm saying
yeah.
Yeah, we need to flag line 123.
I have one more quick comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
We have two stations, WPFW and KPFT. At KPFT, the Arbitrons are roughly triple on the weekend that they are during the week. Weekend is for country music and other mixes of music.
Blues?
And news and public affairs is during the week. The music is outperforming the in terms of Arbitron, the public affairs, weekday public affairs, and the income is greater in the fund drives on the weekends. The same thing is true at WPFW. WPFW makes more money in the fund drives to their from their music audience than their public affairs audience. We need to understand these dynamics and figure out what we can do about them. I think that personally, I would like to have seen market research, because market research is not expensive. We should be budgeting into our budget and doing it, and then factoring that into our programming planning and our grid planning.
Planning?
Pardon me?
Sorry. I was just being a little sarcastic.
Well, we should start to plan.
Market research is a little saying
some dynamics, some financial dynamics of, you know, comparing one station to another and what's working in certain places, and we should know why, you know?
I move we start a working group to plan to plan.
Right. You know, let's plan when the working group's going to meet.
What I'm saying is correct, isn't it, Alberto?
Pretty much, as it relates to how our funding comes in. And it's a frustrating experience within our radio station because not to say anything about anybody, I enjoy it. I'm fully on the radio station pretty much 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I can vouch for the fact that we move all over the spectrum, not only on the public affairs programs, but on the music mix. Last night I was listening to reggae. Tonight I'm going to probably be listening to some Hispanic music as soon as I hang up, and the blues on Sunday. And it's just a very interesting situation. People have a three-hour program on Saturday, country, Texan, and Americana music in 3 hours raised $11,000, which is incredible for our tiny little radio station. So, you know, just there's a lot to be said about it. As much as I love public affairs, as much as I want to hear as radical a program as I can get, as much as I could want to hear stuff from my generation, and who's going to pay? Who's paying? Who is giving the donations, and we need to keep the radio stations afloat. So there's a big issue at our radio station, public affairs versus music. And it has to be balanced, but we need to pay our bills, and that's the bottom line. Sorry.
Thanks.
Don't apologize. No need to
apologize.
Well,
we're all falling asleep now.
Right, no, but it's interesting. You know, radio, I think it's like, the idea that you're going to get a perfect radio station that doesn't have to do something a little bit shifty to survive is not realistic.
Well, you know, Jamie, we get people, and as a matter of fact, I just heard it. Somebody came in, pledged a pledge on the music, and they actually said, "I'm pledging 5 Benjamins. I just wish you would stop your political programs." And of course, we chuckle and say, "Sure."
We'll take your request under advisement.
Right, we'll send it to the program council. And I mean, you know, and on the other end, you have public affairs people that say we should not have music at the radio station. But who's going to fund it? So we have a debate within our own structure here in Houston. Thank God that we have a very small budget. That our budget is $1.3 million for the whole year. We spend $107,000 a month, and that gives us the flexibility to be floating. We're not sinking, we're floating.
Well, that's good. It's good to float. Okay, but anyway, getting back to the budget here. So I think we've dealt with all the questions here in development, as far as I can tell. You know, the shipping being lower while the premiums are up is a good point. The last bundle of lines is community events. There's two lines. One is community events, which 09, I don't know how where these numbers come from, but the 09 actuals were about 4,000. We're budgeting with 1,200. And then the second line is special events. 09 actual was 44,000. We're budgeting nothing.
What the hell was that in 09 that was 44 grand?
44,000?
I
don't know what that number is.
Let me see if I find it in the previous year here at all.
Did that black tie event that y'all were talking about ever happen?
Yeah.
Black tie.
Black tie?
We wear pants at BAI.
Yeah, we did a rubby T-shirt event instead.
No, I'll take that as a no.
Defenses. Event. Okay, I think that may be Rothenberg expenses.
Okay, so now where are Rothenberg expenses
40,
now?
44.8, I think, maybe Rothenberg expenses.
Maybe now it's under premium?
I don't know.
They moved.
Flag it.
That's a question.
Okay.
67.91 there, and it is. Yeah, it is. It's 67.91 on both budgets.
What do you mean, both budgets?
I'm looking at last year's, and they're both item numbers 67.91, crafts fair / Rothenberg expenses.
Okay.
We used to have a crafts fair many years ago. It was the biggest one in New York City, and, well, we won't talk about that.
Another one bites the dust.
And actually, this is down because the 12 months of Ought 8 was 52. The budget projected for Ought 9 was 51. And it's saying, well, again, these actuals are not necessarily final actuals. So maybe that'll come up a bit more. But then why don't we have one for this year?
Okay, so that's the last flagged item. And that brings us to the bottom of BAI. Budget. So we have reviewed the budget. Good work, everybody. So I guess that's it, right?
Yeah.
Have fun with it, guys.
It's wonderful. This is a wonderful exercise.
Well, I mean, I think it's a valuable exercise. Wonderful. I don't know. So I'll summarize all these. I mean, we have a lot of queries here. I hope they get back to us so we can deal with it in short order. So we're going to meet next Tuesday then? Is that the plan?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I will notice that meeting. And is there anything else we need to discuss?
Is that when LaVarn can be available?
She did say she would be here next Tuesday, yes.
Great. Be sure to let her know so she can put it on her calendar.
Okay, thank you, Susan. Yes, we will do so.
And Jamie will carry over the issues raised about the repayment of the Heath fund.
Yeah, we have to carry over the other agenda items,
Okay.
The budgeting, the going through the budget kind of takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we'll carry over all the other items.
Okay.
I move that we end our session tonight, Mr. Chairman.
Second!
With one final statement.
Okay, as long as it's funny.
The budgets are not written in stone, only the Ten Commandments. Have a good night, everybody.
I have an objection to the Ten Commandments.
I agree, but that's the best way I could put together this concept of the two rocks.
All right.
I don't believe in that stuff either, madam.
Good.
but I couldn't think of a better way of putting the rocks.
All right. That's
some
right.
People think that budgets are carved in stone, and they're not.
Good night. Okay, good night.
Good night.
Thank you, Alberta. Thank you, everyone. Bye.